morning. Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us both in person and online. Please stand as you're able for opening hymns.
All the young folks join us up here. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Go ahead, have a seat. All right. Welcome, welcome. So let me ask you all a question. What did we celebrate a few days ago?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. I heard it over here too. All good. All right. So what did you all do for Thanksgiving?
Go on. I ate food.
Oh, you ate food. Excellent, excellent. What did you do?
Eat pie and ice cream.
Eat pie and ice cream? Ooh, what kind of pie?
Lemon meringue.
Lemon meringue. That sounds delicious. All right. I'm going to pass this over to Maddie.
My uncles came, and they came from Seattle, so we got to see them, and we had our Thanksgiving with my grandparents.
Nice. What did you do for Thanksgiving? You're not sure? Okay. Maddie, I asked Maddie to help out a little bit up here and talk about something that you and your family did, and Annalie and Heather and I did the day before Thanksgiving, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
We went to Big Sunday, and we made Thanksgiving food bags with prepared food for people who aren't as fortunate and don't really have the time or the money to go out and make their big Thanksgiving feast. So we did that together and bagged a bunch.
Thank you so much. Annalie, what did you pack in the bags?
Cornbread.
Cornbread. You packed to the cornbread. So we had a lot to be thankful for. We had the opportunity to be with our family, friends, eat great food, right? Eat lemon meringue pie, help out others. And something that as we start and move from Thanksgiving into the next holiday that's coming up, which is?
Christmas.
I know, it's already up. You know what? We're getting ready to start because it starts the season of Advent. So next week we're going to start Advent, which means we're preparing the way for Christmas. And we've done an excellent job by already being thankful for those things that we have. So I want to go around. I want every person, I'm going to pass the mic around. So we're going to start over here with you, Roisin. And I just want you to share one thing you're thankful for, and then we're just going to pass it around.
Pie. My family.
We can come back if you need a minute.
Food and sports.
Food and sports.
I recently got on the All-Star team, and I'm really excited about that.
Great. What do you think? You can pass.
You want to pass? What do you think before?
Me? Earlier when she practiced, she said her mom. Pass it to them.
Cheer. Build my family.
Well, I am thankful for all of you. And so we're going to say a brief prayer. And then for those who are in kindergarten and younger, we're going to be in the nursery. And everyone else is going to stay in for the service today. And we do have activity bags, and we'll be bringing some of those out to you if you didn't get one of those when you came in. So let's bow our heads. Dearest Lord, we are so thankful for the blessings that you have given us. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to give back, to spend time with our family. And as we move forward into December, we have so many things to be thankful for and look forward to, as we have our toy drive, as we have our compassion bears, and so many opportunities to help those around us. Please be with us, Lord, as we move through this week, and travel mercies for all of those friends and families who are traveling back today. And all God's children said,
Amen.
All right, so if you are, raise your hand if you're in kindergarten. Raise your hand if you're in TK. All right, so those of you will be joining me, and the rest, you will go back with your families. Thank you so much. And to all of you, please stand up and greet each other with a Thanksgiving blessing as you are comfortable.
As we enter into a time of prayer, let's take a moment to center ourselves, sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and listen to the words of our chancel choir.
It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's me,
O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's me,
O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's me,
O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Let's pray. Creator God, this Thanksgiving weekend, with a grateful heart, we acknowledge your amazing power and work in our lives. And we thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you that you're able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purpose. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you're always with us and will never leave us. As we journey into a new season of Advent, and the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season begins, may we take time to rest in your presence. God, there are many issues in our lives and of this world that weigh heavy on our hearts, and we humbly bring those to you today. We pray for health of many of our family members and for the families of those who've experienced loss of a beloved member. It's so difficult to say goodbye to someone in this life, but ease our sadness in knowing we will see those who have gone before again soon in this life eternal. Continued prayers for those of us experiencing a lack of good pay, safe place to live, food insecurities as winter approaches. May those who can help provide be your hands and feet by showing kindness, love, and mercy to those of us who need hope. As we prepare for the season of Advent, a season where every heart should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with the heaviness of life. Wars continuing around the world, voices telling us to be afraid, personal struggles and worries. We pray for peace, a peace that can only come from you. Let us rest in your presence for a few moments as we individually lift up to you what is on our hearts in a moment of silent prayer. Lord God, help us set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits. Fill us with your peace and joy. We love you and we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks. And now we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Creator, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good Sunday morning, church family. Have a good Thanksgiving. Right. So did I. Ate my weight in pie, as we've been talking about. Let's check in, shall we? Get out those phones, if you would. Even if you're online, you can still scan the QR code, check in, and drop your name in there. And any prayer requests that you have, please put those in there as well. We collect those throughout the week, and we pray over them. Everything's happening today in the courtyard. Not much happening, but we're still having some delicious cakes and desserts from Dan Cox in the courtyard, some hot chocolate since it's cold. So come see me at the welcome table if you have any questions about all the things I'm going to just talk about here in a second. Advent devotionals, which are written by mainly our congregation of both campuses, begin on December 3rd. So, yes, they will be on all our socials as well. There's a web page on our website if you want to read those on a daily basis. Coming in a couple weeks, really, and just to think, something to think about for tomorrow since it is Cyber Monday, please consider buying a toy or two if you can for the Christmas Shop. It's our youth group that puts this together for families in need. And basically, all those boxes you see in the narthex are going to be filled full of toys. And we set up a kind of like a shop where families can come and get some free gifts for their kids. So if you can help out with that, please do. You can also have them shipped here, and we'll put them in the box for you. You don't even need to worry about that. There's still a few Compassion Bears left. As you can see, they're starting to come in. They're very cute. There's a few left out in the narthex if you feel extra creative this year and you want to grab an extra one or two, please do. And then this coming weekend, there's a couple things happening. This I was just told about, which is great. The Wallace Memorias on Friday night at 6:30 is doing a special event. It's their 30th year as well, so they're celebrating. And you can grab one of these cards. They're on all the welcome tables. They're also out in the courtyard with the address and a little bit more information on it. So that's happening on Friday. And then, of course, Sunday, the 3rd of December, is our big Sunday. We've been all year celebrating our 30th anniversary of the Red Ribbons on our tower. And we will be premiering the document short that we have made, that it was produced by Polly Perrette. About that tower and those ribbons. So please be here for that. We have some special guests that'll be attending, and we also have a reception to follow after that Sunday. So, and we're, like I said, showing the movie, which is a 15-minute short. So please be with us next Sunday, starting at 11 a.m. All that we do here is made possible with your prayers, your presence, your service, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward, and we put up the QR code there for online giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do the work here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being with us today.
reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as shepherds separate the sheep from goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Can you believe it's been 26 weeks since we celebrated Pentecost? 26. I know time flies, but that's just hard to believe. We've spent 26 Sundays now in what we call ordinary time. And this year, it seems like we have an extra Sunday between Thanksgiving Sunday and the first Sunday of Advent. Actually, Christ the King Sunday is always the last Sunday of ordinary time before the new Christian year begins. However, it's usually overtaken by Thanksgiving Sunday. But this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, that stands alone this year, we pause to reflect on the meaning of Christ's reign over the church, the world, and our lives. But before we begin that, I want to just one more reminder that next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, we will be having our World AIDS celebration service with our new bishop, who will be here, Dottie Escobedo-Frank, our new district superintendent, Dr. Saya Tuitahi, and we have invited our Congressman, Adam Schiff, who was with us on the 20th and the 25th anniversaries of the Red Ribbon, so we're hoping that he will be here as well. Polly Perrette will be here to introduce why she felt doing this documentary was so important. And we will have a representative from the National Trust for Historic Preservation who helped fund this documentary short. So it's going to be a wonderful Sunday. There will be no sermon. We will see the documentary short instead of that. So for those of you for which that's appealing, you know, it's your Sunday. I'm just saying. But we'll be celebrating 30 years of the witness of these red ribbons. And they incarnate really what Jim Wallis talked about years ago, the founder of the Sojourners community in D.C. He said that our faith is personal, but it can never be private. And those ribbons are a witness to that reality. Today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew affirms that faith is not private because it's all about justice, defined as where and in whom we see the face of God. This portion of Matthew 25 is commonly known as the story of the sheep and the goats. Now, in Jesus' time, the shepherds let the sheep and the goats graze together during the day. But when night falls, they were separated because the goats went into shelter to protect them from the cold while the sheep had enough wool to stay warm. So the idea of separating sheep from goats was a very common analogy in the time of Jesus. Remember, to love one another And to love another person is to see the face of God. But Matthew 25 tells us actually how Jesus wants us to see the face of God in others, by proactively offering solutions, big and small, to the problems of hunger, thirst, nakedness, sickness, and isolation in our world. Now, there's a tendency, and I want us to avoid it, to get distracted by the fact that Matthew sets these solutions to fundamental human problems in the context of a series of hellfire and damnation passages. This is the final segment in an arc of Matthew's stories about the need for Christians to be prepared for Christ's return, that we need to lead righteous lives. And partly because Matthew's target audience was really Jewish Christians, accustomed to living by a set of rules, Matthew tends to emphasize more than the other Gospels the connection between our actions on earth and salvation. But here's the key: salvation is not just about what's going to happen in the life to come. Salvation is something that starts today, and it's about a certain kind of life, specifically a life in community. And as Jesus taught, not just any community. When we follow Christ, we then become a family, complete with all that means in good times and bad. It means loving each other and taking care of one another. Now, if your family is like mine, there are some folks who act like old goats, I'll just be honest. And they specifically do not get along with the sheep, as this picture would have you believe. They fuss and they fight and they snipe at one another. And some are just plain weird. But these sort of idiosyncratic family members aren't the goats of Matthew's gospel. Nor, unfortunately, are those people who claim the name of Jesus Christ but have an entirely different understanding of what it means to be a disciple. In other words, the people from whom we are trying to reclaim Jesus, who we are trying as progressives, such as those who either follow the prosperity gospel or those who believe that only straight men can be ordained, or those who would exclude the LGBTQ community from the family entirely because they claim that the Bible says it's okay to do so. I want all those people to be the goats, right? And we'll be the sheep and we'll just snuggle up to Jesus and have him pat us on the head and everything will be fine. Because, of course, we are the good sheep. But Scripture says that's not the way the differentiation works. The basis is found in our reactions to those and how we react to those who are in need in the world around us. Do we treat those persons, those who hunger for bread and for justice, as members of our family? Do we see the face of God in each of them? And while this passage on its surface is very easy to understand, it's at times proven very hard for Christians and for the church to really live it out. The great preacher Barbara Brown Taylor once wrote that the one thing the sheep know how to do and the goats have never tried is to look, to see, to seek Christ in the last and the lost and the least. The only way to tell if they are really Jesus' eyes is to look into them, to risk that moment of recognition that may break your heart, or change your mind, or make you mad, or make you amend your life. We are called to be family together. We're called into relationship, even when that a relationship is unlikely, momentary, or sad. We're called to look at one another and see Christ, who promises to be there when our eyes meet, and in that glance to teach us something we need to know. So what is it that we need to know this morning? That to live a life that claims Jesus the Christ as Lord and as King, to experience the amazing grace of God that we heard sung about, we have to live as family together with all that that means. When one of us hurts, it means we all hurt. You know, there are folks who can quote the Bible cover to cover. I had a colleague once who said, you know what, I know what the house looks like, but I don't know the address. And that's the way I am about the Bible, knowing, being able to quote verses. But there are plenty of people who can quote them, but yet have never done an act of service for another. If the least of us is not cared for, we become goats. As the great former preacher of the Riverside Church in New York City, James Forbes, once said, nobody gets to heaven without a letter of reference from the poor. Adam Hamilton, the pastor of the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City, once wrote, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, it appears that the goats thought of themselves as religious. They were surprised, and at the last judgment, that they were turned away. So why did the goats turn away those who were in need? His theory is that I think it was because they were afraid, and they allowed their fear to override their compassion and humanity. I too would also submit that such irrational fears prevent us from seeing the face of God in each other. And then Adam closes with, and the sheep? The sheep found the courage to overcome their fears and to act with compassion and love. So family, to truly do justice, we need to do the same. We need to embody the courage to act with compassion and love, even when it's difficult. We need to claim Jesus, live in community, and see the face of God in others. That's what it means to have Christ as our King today. One way we did that this past week as a community of faith is we welcomed members of SAG-AFTRA to have a Friendsgiving lunch on Wednesday. Around 200 folks who spent months this year on the picket line were treated to a delicious meal prepared by our friends at Project Angel Food, who asked us if we'd be willing to host. Kevin Weiler, who wonderfully represented us, said that everyone just loved being with one another, having a moment to overcome the social isolation that many of us have continued to feel from the pandemic, even if it was just for a day, just for a few hours. And they were also enchanted by our Back to the Future stage. So in closing, in the new year, may we look for new ways like this that we can share our faith that is personal, never private. Because as St. John of the Cross so eloquently said in the 16th century, in the evening of life, we will be judged on love alone. Amen. How many of you noticed that we have a new piano here in the sanctuary? Thanks to John West for finding it for us and arranging for it to be here for this day and especially for next Sunday. Following the postlude, if you would like to receive communion, please make your way down to these first couple of rows. And when the postlude is over, I will consecrate the elements. You're welcome to then, if you can, find a spot to kneel for prayer following. Go forth now, knowing that God loves you, looking to see the face of God in others, and know that indeed we are to draw the circle wide. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.